state mandated program, I assume.
Pardon me, go ahead again.
I said, since this is a state mandated program, correct?
Yes.
So if it's a state mandated program, the state is required to fund it.
Well, it's, as many things are, it's an unfunded mandate by the state. So they will provide grant funding and for implementation of projects and some administration. So that's their.
How convenient.
Yeah.
And if I can just add, Cammie, that so this is basically the same presentation that we provided to the Vina GSA board at their last meeting. And they really wanted the SHAC to weigh in on all these discussions and potentially, you know, just give recommendations and their thoughts about it as an ad hoc committee to help them make a more informed decision. And so, you know, I don't know if we just kind of want to go through and ask people individually if they have any issues with any of those five up there. That might be a way to do it, or even come back at the end of the presentation to this question again, so people have more time to think about it. But your board definitely would appreciate some feedback on this.
Thank you, Kelly. So I will move on with that in mind. We can come back and revisit this. I guess also to Kelly's point, you know, if there's something that you all don't want at all, like you might say, I don't think the GSA should have an employee or staff, because that means we're going to have to provide benefits, insurance, like all of those things, then let's not have an employee. Let's talk more about, let's get a consultant. There's people that are doing this. They know what they're doing. Or perhaps like an independent contractor. For example, I was an independent contractor and managed Durham Irrigation District. You could hire somebody that does just that. So, or the member agencies, one of the member agencies, whether it's Butte County, City of Chico, or even Durham Irrigation District, could hire someone, and then the GSA would contribute to that. So those are things to think about.
Cammie, I think that Mr. Harriman might want to speak. I don't know if he had his hand up, but I'm not sure if he still is interested.
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, great, Richard. Thank you.
Could I be recognized, Cammie? And I'm going to, because I'm not a member of the SHAC, I'm looking at this as a water commissioner and as an overview, and listening to the comments that were made by Sam and Greg, I'm inclined to want to approach this from a little bit different overview, and that's why I asked to be recognized now. I agree that since SGMA is state legislation, if we start looking at how the players line up here in terms of their jurisdiction and authority, you have the county board of supervisors that has certain roles, the water commission and the department have certain roles defined by chapter 33 and the measure G, and then you've got SGMA. And just as an administrative and also a legal overview, I think that the more independence that the GSA has and your SHAC has separate from the other electeds, that's better for all parties. And I happen to agree with both Sam and Greg that it should be funded by the state, whether it's grants or however else it has to be done, whether we have to go back to the legislature and ask them to amend SGMA to cover that. So short form is, I think if you start out with the premise that the GSA is going to be independent and an independent body, and for legal reasons, I think there's some good reasons to do that, then I think the process that has been urged on you is, let's look at what the budget is and to see what that's going to be. Because if the member agencies are going to have to fund it, that's a really different thing from having the state fund it. And I think this issue should be brought back to the GSA and ultimately to the Board of Supervisors as well. And I'd like to see it come before the Water Commission to have some comments on there. So summarizing my points, number one, I think independence is better administratively. Number two, it's better legally. And number three, it's better fiscally, so that we can have the state actually fund us and have an independent body of interplay with the county and the other agencies. Thanks for the opportunity to comment.
Great, thank you, Richard. Greg?
Yeah, and I could agree with Richard on that. I think everybody concerned, the Board of Supervisors, the Water Commission, all of the GSAs, we should contact the legislature and tell them that they should fund this. I think that's where we should start, as far as funding, as far as trying to, you know, okay, hey, are we going to charge people for this or that? I think the place to start is with the state and have everybody sign on to a letter requesting the state fund the requirements of SGMA. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cammy?
Yes.
This is Joanne Parsley. Mm-hmm. Can I make a comment?
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And I totally agree with Richard and Greg. But the unfunded mandates, look at education. There are so many unfunded mandates, state and federal, and that's a long process. I think that process should happen. But in the meantime, what's the bridge while you're doing that process, or you'll be waiting years to really do this? I think it's hard for us to know because of the finances and what different entities would cost, a consultant versus an independent person. Maybe you guys are going to present that, or maybe you need more time to kind of give, hey, this is the category that consultants would cost, and this is what independent contractors would cost, because, or it's just maybe me, but I feel like I'm like listening to this and it's interesting, but I'm kind of blind about what is really behind it.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Can I make a further comment, Cammy?
Sure. And then Toby, I see your hands raised as well. Go ahead, Richard.
Following up on Joanne's comment, I think given the fact we're in the budget cycle right now, and seeing Toby's here is good because he'll understand this in spades, is that this is a time to be going to legislature, and without getting political about it, we have very strong representation through our assemblyman and our state senator who seem to have the ear of the Democratic majority. I think it's really important, and I'll bet it's important statewide, so it might be a good time to do it now. Thanks for the opportunity to comment again.
Thank you. Toby?
Hi, thanks, Cammy, for the opportunity to talk briefly. I agree. I think that's a good suggestion by Richard. The governor just announced another $2 billion for water conservation. I mean, it seems like there should be funding at the state level to help GSAs, perhaps not with PMA implementation directly, but at least with the administrative functions. It seems like we're not the only GSA having an issue with this. This has got to be a common refrain by GSAs. And so, and maybe there's a move. I don't know if there's a move at the state level to try to get the state to pick up at least some portion of the administrative cost, but it seems like CSAC and the League and others, special districts, there could easily be a push for some level of administrative help, you know, for these GSAs. So they're not just starting from scratch. Okay, thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the comment. All right. So talking about, and I appreciate that everyone, the budget aspect of it. I think we would probably find that with regard to a GSA coordinator, whether it's an employee of the GSA, an independent contractor, or a consultant, the consultant might be slightly higher, but when you factor in the fee schedule and insurance that an employee would cost, they probably all are relatively close. So you know, many agencies hire consultants to serve as contract staff because when they look at paying someone for that full, like a full-time position, it kind of is a wash. And so, and the, having a consultant manage serve as a GSA coordinator, they're only billing you, excuse me, for the time that they're actually working. So, so while their billing rates might be higher, if you had a GSA coordinator making $50 an hour, it's not really just $50, right? We all know, hopefully know how insurance and everything else works. So I would say, just based on my experience of providing contract services as part of consulting firms and employees, it's kind of a wash. So financial provisions. So just to kind of, but this, now we're getting into the budget aspect a little bit and financing options. And financial provisions, as in the JPA, talks about that the agency funding and contributions was initially funded through a GSP grant and in-kind contributions of members. And then there could be continued voluntary contributions by members, member agencies. The budgets, the board will be required to adopt a budget prior to the commencement of the fiscal year, so that's coming up. And then the board of directors, the GSA board, shall work on development, adoption, and implementation of a long-term funding plan to cover the operating and administrative expenses of the agency. So again, just identifying things that the GSA would be funding as administration and a GSA coordinator, legal services, financial services, public outreach, grant writing, technical consultants, office supplies, and GSP implementation for those items that are not, for those projects and things that are not funded through grants. I did wanted to expand a little bit with GSP implementation. So there are things that may not be funded by grants. For example, so as I've stated before, the SGMA grant program that opens up, we will be able to apply from anywhere from $1 million to $20 million for the basin, sub-basin. But it is a competitive grant process. So not all things may be funded. So we might want to identify things that we know that we want to include in our budgeting purposes, like knowing that the annual reports that could be funded by a grant, but we might want to focus on the things that we know we have to do, like annual reports, monitoring, filling in the data gaps. We might want to budget for that and then pursue grant funding for some of the other things or for both. And then if it's funded by grants, then great, it's not pulled out of our budget. So things to think about. And again, monitoring and filling data gaps, projects managed, PMAs, and then any technical consultants for all of that work. So this is an example draft budget. The items in red are the things that were identified in the GSP. So if you recall, the GSP Chapter 6 talked about estimated about $400,000 for administration. I also, in this draft budget, identified some of the potential revenues that could be where we would receive funding. It could be member agency contributions, but to a limited extent, any fees or assessments. If you recall, the GSA is authorized to charge fees and various assessments, and then we may receive money from the SGMA grant program. I also, at the bottom of this budget, identified other expenses that we need to consider, which is additional legal expenses for litigation. I will say that pretty much every budget I did review had a legal and litigation reserve, whether they were being sued or not. Also, other expenses are the audits, which is about $10,000 a year. And then if we were to pursue some kind of financing option for an election or doing a 218 hearing, or there would be fees associated with election and implementation. And then I also added grant writing. So these are the categories that I saw on all the budgets that I looked at. And so kind of expanding our budget estimates where we would have to figure in some of these categories. Toby, I see. Does any SHAC member have a comment or question? Otherwise, I'll just open it up to Toby.
Kiavi, has staff looked at anticipating, I mean, we, other GSAs, I'm not sure if any other GSA has an active lawsuit against the GSP or against the GSA. We do have an active lawsuit. Do we have any estimates on what we think defending the GSP will cost? Thank you.
Sure. So at this point, staff is budgeting through the end of the year. We identified that it would probably be about $20,000 through the end of this fiscal year, so through June, to pay for what our legal counsel is doing in response to the lawsuit. Depending on the outcome of that, then we would have a different estimate for responding just based on the outcome of that. So there are some unknowns at this point. Greg?
It's too bad we were sued, but it is what it is. How much of these expenses on this overlap with other sub-basins? Is this all for just the Vina sub-basin, or is this for all three sub-basins, these costs? And another comment, you know, when Toby brought up the $2 million water conservation money, that's basically what we're charged with, is trying to conserve and utilize water. I think that he's right. That's a good place to ask the legislators to get some money from. So
with regard to your question of what is the overlap of these expenses with some of the other GSAs, we haven't looked at it to kind of consolidate it. That's something that we could do. It just depends on what the other GSAs, how they want to pursue some of these things, you know, such as their annual reports. Obviously, there is some overlap, and Kelly could speak to that more with the annual reports as to what information, you know, there can be a shared cost there. And we could pursue that as well. I think just having obviously we could probably shave a little bit off of each of these if we were to assume that everybody was going to contribute, but the exact amount, I do not know. And Toby, to answer your other question, the Butte sub-basin is also in litigation as well. So I can't remember your second question, Greg. Oh, the administrative grant funding for that. Yes, one of the things that we would probably want to look at, this is kind of an aside, is other grant opportunities besides SGMA, the SGMA program in the fall. And there are there is a lot of drought money out there right now that might be pursued more from a project standpoint, but it could help us with administration indirectly from a project management perspective.
I have a question. This is Sam. Mm-hmm. Where's the money coming from for these grants?
The state. It's been
set. But what is the source? Is it the Bond Act from 2014, or is it some other source?
You know, I can't remember off the top of my head. It's somewhere stuck in my brain, but I can't recall. There is Prop 1 and 68 funding, but then I can't recall. I can look it up and let you know.
If it's proposition money, normally there's a per capita allocation, so maybe we should follow the money and see where that's coming from and go to the source.
Okay. Yeah, we'll look it up and respond to let you know where that's coming from. I can't remember right off the top of my head, but it's in the beginning of the Sigma grant program. It tells you where it's coming from.
I can check it out. Okay.
Samantha, I see you have your hand raised.
Yeah, in reference to those state funds, what resources do you anticipate possibly tapping into with the Resource Conservation District of Butte County, which is already charged with conserving water resources and has grant writing capabilities and staff?
Yeah, that's a great question, Samantha. You know, we haven't been coordinating with the Resource Conservation District extensively, but as we move forward, definitely collaborating more to see what projects and resources they have available to either the GSAs and whatnot. So yes, that collaboration, I have reached out to meet with them, but and then hopefully getting back on line with them. Kelly used to participate in their meetings, but just given our limitations in staffing and being able to be everywhere at once, we haven't participated as much, but it's definitely been discussed. Kelly, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I'll just add real quick. Samantha, sometimes we do go ahead and provide updates to the RCD board at their meetings on a relatively somewhat infrequent basis, but when some, you know, big milestones happen, that kind of thing, we do provide inputs and talk to them. But they have indicated that, you know, they would be interested in serving as a subcontractor, for example, for maybe, you know, following through some of our implementation projects or, you know, whatever's needed in that role. So once we get a better handle on, you know, what we're going to pursue funding for, I think that's the time to reach out a little bit more.
Have they indicated anything, Samantha? I know serve on their board.
Yeah, they are currently in process of hiring a new district manager. And I was just thinking out of the box, how interesting it would be if we were to partner with that position and potentially co-fund it with them and have someone at the helm there that would aid in the administration that we're talking about.
Right. That could be an option as an other of the list of the GSA coordinator. So it depends on their staffing too. I think a great opportunity to at least have the conversation and perhaps even pursuing joint projects. And that's a good reminder for me. I did have reached out to them. I haven't continued to follow up.
I think that's possibly why you haven't had a lot of response from them, because they don't have that district manager in place, but they do have an $80,000 budget set aside for that position.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's good to know the status. I didn't know that they were looking, so thank you. Not seeing any other hands raised. So this is kind of the budget categories. We could work to fill it out a little more if there's any others that people, items that people want to add. Again, if we were to do, depending on fees financing options that we want to pursue, if there were a feasibility study or fee study, that this would be fleshed out in a little more detail. Let's see. I guess that was where I wanted to kind of stop and see if there, I'll go back to that slide. If there were other items, suggestions, needs with regard to the budget, potential budget. All right. So I did want to talk a little bit about ways to fund the GSA. I guess I can add to the slide pursuing the state for paying for it as well. But typically GSA administration has been funded initially by member agencies, and many GSAs have shifted over to fees or assessments or taxes, primarily fees through Prop 218 hearings. And then just a reminder, GSP implementation can have many grants. The grants can fund many things, obviously from all the PMAs, as well as fees and assessments and taxes can also fund GSP implementation. On this next slide, so I'm going to put it out there that I am not an expert in all of these items, any of them, as a matter of fact. The one I'm most familiar with is 218, just having worked for Durham Irrigation District. But these are the funding mechanisms we can look at, which is a fee, various fees for either the parcel fees and such. We can do a Prop 218 hearing. There can be a Prop 26, or we can also do assessments and taxes. Now, one of the things that I wanted to get your feedback on, me not being an expert on these things, we as staff are thinking that perhaps we could have people come, consultants come speak to each of these to be able to answer your questions. And that way it could help inform you a little more on routes that you, the GSA might want to take, whether it's a 218 hearing, a Prop 26. Things like taxes require a voter initiative on a ballot. So just know that, but my thought is that we would have people, experts in these, including perhaps our legal counsel, talk about these items for each of you, for you all, and then that could help inform your recommendations to the board to perhaps pursue one and not another. This is the same graph chart from before, but just knowing that there are some constitutional limitations imposed by Prop 13, 218, and 26, and there are distinctions between each of them as to how fees and assessments and taxes can be charged. Property-related fees under Prop 218 are subject to noticing, a majority protest proceeding, and when required, a subsequent ratification election. other fees and charges, though, can be exempt from some of the process under 218, and this can just be adopted by the governing body. By the GSA board, and then taxes and assessments again require voter approval. So the timing of that is could be done kind of on the coattails of an election. It could be a special election, but I will note that it's upwards and over $100,000 to have an election for charging taxes or fees, special taxes and assessments, and usually like I think 2/3 vote. So might be challenging. Again, some types of fees are a fee per acre, an usage extraction fee, wellhead fee, and then again, parcel taxes and special taxes. And so just to have a discussion, am I right on in thinking that you'll want more information on each of these? What thoughts, discussion from the group, questions? Knowing that I'm not an expert in this. Bruce, I see your hands up.
Yes, and for me, I'd like to hear from, and you said it, that you're not an expert in this, so I don't mean to offend you. But someone who's can answer some details that I, because I know this is the first I've heard about a 218 or a 26, so I'm blind. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, Cammie, it's Evan. Apologies for not raising my hand and for being tardy again. But I just want to give a little background. So the Glen Groundwater Authority, we did go through a 218 for funding, and it was successful. However, there have been some threats of legal challenges for certain parcels, kind of based on the fee structure. So I do think it would be very valuable to get some feedback from legal counsel as well as, you know, a consultant. Maybe we could, I don't know if you already have a consultant for this stuff or if we could look at using the same one we used over there. But I do think that would be good information.
Great. Thank you. Any other thoughts or questions? Greg?
Yeah, I would agree. I think we need to take a close look at each one before any decisions could be made. But in the meantime, I go back to approaching the state about paying for this process.
Okay, thank you. Do you all think that it would be good for us to try and fill out the budget a little more and get an idea of what we're the amount that we're trying to fund so that even obviously it could just be a draft, we won't know exact numbers, but that might influence, let's say if we had someone come speak about a 218 or any of them, and then if we were to say, oh, we have a $400,000 budget or a $1 million budget, just depending, that might influence the route that we go. Would that seem like a good approach? Bruce?
I like your, that you had, I'm assuming I got this right, your budget in red that was $393,000. And I know I do this for myself. There's always theory of what you're going to do and what it's going to be. And then I look back at, well, yeah, what project have I done in the past that's similar? And what was the real world? So you, and I want to include all four of you, you guys have done this now for a considerable time. You could go just off the top of your head. You don't have to do it right now. But if you look back at, because you already said it's going to be a full-time job, but if you looked at the time, and I mean not just what you get paid for from 8 to 5, and I don't expect you to charge for the night times that you were up until 3 o'clock working for 3 hours on it. But the reality is that's what someone's going to charge for it, in my mind. And so just, and again, I don't expect you to answer this right now, but the four of you, what did it cost to have you guys do what you did for the last, say, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year? Because that's probably about as realistic of any estimate. And you guys are the experts in what you've done. You're actually doing it. So anyway, that's my thought.
Great. Thank you. Toby?
I don't have a comment. I just would echo Bruce's comment. I think it would be helpful to know, because it's not just been 3 months. You guys have put in an inordinate amount of time over the past 5 years to get us to this point. And that doesn't go against anything. I would love to know that number. You may not have the time to figure that number out, but I think it would be helpful for the larger conversation for us to know what Butte County and its staff have put into this process today, for what it's worth.
Great, thank you. Bruce, was that a leftover hand?
Yes, I've got to learn how to do this someday. I live long enough.
I lowered it. Okay. Greg, I see your hands up.
Yes, and also I think that, you know, the forming of the GSAs and everything else took a tremendous amount of time. So there should be less time involved in maintaining this, I would think, than what you put into it up to now. Thank you.
Thank you. I would say the last year is a little more reflection of what it will take outside of the GSP preparation. Okay. So I think at this point, unless there's other comments, I think at this point, what we'll do is kind of flesh out the budget a little more and have some ideas around that, perhaps costs in some of the technical components, such as knowing that we're going to have to do the annual report probably before we get funding from SGMA, assuming the legislature is not going to fund us, and that we'll be pursuing grants. And then we'll plug in some numbers for monitoring and a couple of the other things that we know will need to be done before this time next year. And then and we will look a little at the crossover perhaps with other GSAs in shared costs for some of those things. And then we will also have perhaps legal counsel or a consultant come, or a group of people, perhaps a small panel of people to be able to discuss funding options, whether it's like a 218 or a Prop 26, and what types of fees can be charged in the context of maybe using that budget as a base. And obviously the budget could change, but just to give an idea to work with so that you guys could make recommendations to the GSA board as to ways that you think we should pursue funding. Does that sound like a plan? Greg?
Yeah, that sounds to me like a good plan, but I also think in the meantime, we should go ahead and pursue with the Water Commission, the supervisors, all the GSAs, and even neighboring counties to force the state to pay for this. I think that should be started anytime. The sooner the better. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Sam, I see your hands up.
Yes, in reading the local newspaper here in the local news, it appears we're going to have a explosion of new developments, housing developments. Is there any thought in regards to those additional straws being put into the aquifer, paying their fair share? Because they don't exist today, but when they exist in the future, that impact is going to be tremendous on the local area. So is there any thought given to conditioning new subdivisions to create a like an assessment district to fund their impact on existing residents?
We can look into that. We haven't discussed that part of kind of land use and conditioning. I would imagine that, I don't know exactly, I didn't read the paper today, so I'm not sure which subdivisions. I'm imagining many of them are connecting into Cal Water or would be serviced by a community water system.
No, I understand that, but their impact will be tremendous in regards to the amount of the quantity and quality of water that's going to feed these, you know, huge tracks that are supposedly going in. And if they do, it's better to think about it now than after they're already built.
Yeah.
And I see that falling under something like a assessment or a tax, Sam. I think that would definitely be part of the conversation with either one of those two options.
Well,
existing and, yeah.
No, I agree, but I think now's the time to start talking about it, because the developer or the developers, that's one vote that controls all the future subdivisions, all the residential units that we built. So it's not thinking outside the box, it's looking at reality.
You know, I think you do have a good point, and it could be something to bring back for discussion, is that how, so we don't have land use or regulatory oversight of land use and permitting, right? That's done by the planning departments of either the county or the cities that they're in, but perhaps there is a process for one, either creating some kind of policy like you suggest, Sam, or review or input. All of those projects, I would imagine, require CEQA, and while they may have already gone through their CEQA process, but there is CEQA questions that do talk about if a certain project would inhibit or prevent or conflict with a GSP. And so that might be something that GSAs might want to consider in as an internal process of the GSA to respond to projects in that way and use that.
It'd be important during reviews that the planning commissions and zoning and whatever happen to this point, they do conditions of approval that requires them prior to advancing their plans to address this situation.
Right, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. I will go to Samantha next, the shack, and then Deborah, I do see that your hand is raised. So Sam?
Well, it appears that taxes have a few more hoops to jump through in order to implement, and perhaps we could be looking at a new user extraction fee for new hookups. I mean, the Valley Edge description that I've read is talking about a conservative estimate of about 1,800 acre feet of additional usage. And if we're trying to conserve 10,000 acre feet, that's 18% of what we're trying to actually decrease in the area. And so I would be open to talking about new user extraction fees.
Okay, thank you. I guess that would be, okay, from the GSA or from coordinating with development services or planning for the local jurisdiction?
Well, it's my understanding the GSA has extraction authority. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that we wouldn't even need to go the long route.
Right, we don't.
So okay. We could share, and that would perhaps raise a significant amount of money.
Okay, thank you. All right, Deborah, I see your hands raised.
Yeah, I was just going to follow up on what is new in California state law. My understanding is there is a bill that was passed that any subdivision over 499 homes has to show or prove where they're going to be getting their water from. I don't know if someone else on the call may have the actual bill number, but I do believe that is new state law. And in terms of, you know, the drought report that we just received at the Board of Supervisors yesterday, Vina Subbasin is 98,000 acre feet over draft right now. And, you know, I share the concerns for farmers. You know, if we're going to develop homes, you know, what's going to get cut back? It can't all happen. So, I think it's an important point. And the GSA does have that authority, but I do want to point out that there are existing laws on the books as well.
Great, thank you. I think maybe Evan might know the actual number, but I'll jump into talking about water supply assessments and the requirements legally. Go ahead, Evan.
No, that's what I was going to do. I don't have the bill number. I was just going to touch on the water supply assessments.
Go ahead. I'll let you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, you're absolutely correct, Ever. So it's anything over 500 homes or anything that would increase our service areas, service connection count by more than 10% of the existing number. They are required to conduct a water supply assessment. So for developments within our service area, the developer would pay Cal Water. We work with a consultant to complete those reports. And part of that analysis is looking at the local GSP and ensuring that nothing that they're proposing goes against what is laid out in those plans. So, Cammie, you may have more
detail. That's exactly what I was gonna say. So, thank you. But it would be interesting to see how to combine that with perhaps what Sam Lewis was saying about extraction fees for new users. All right. So I wasn't really thinking that we needed any kind of vote, but just kind of the direction of looking and expanding the budget and providing, bringing a consultant back or legal counsel back to discuss some of these options with you all with kind of a budget in mind. And I think, I mean, staff can pull something together that we think is realistic. I will say that as part of any, let's say if we were to pursue a 218 or a Prop 26, that a real budget would need to be prepared in order to identify how we would charge those fees anyway. So so we'll work with, we'll start something for discussion purposes and refine it as we move forward. All right, that was the end of mine. Report. The executive. So I'm up next again. Just as a side note, the executive with the governor issued an executive order on March 28th. There's about 15 action items in the executive order for state agencies as well as other local agencies, as well as consumers for water conservation practices. In that executive order, there is action item 9, and there's two parts to action item 9, which the first part is that the GSA prior to the installation of, and I'll say a large diameter groundwater well, that the Environmental Health, who is our permitting agency for wells, has to obtain written verification from the GSA that installation of the well would not be inconsistent with the GSP. And the second part of Action 9 is that Environmental Health, the permitting agency, would also evaluate that the installation of the well would not interfere with the production of an adjacent well, as well as wouldn't increase or cause subsidence. So the approach that was taken is that so we focused on primarily the first part, we being staff in providing an acknowledgement form to the board that requires a permittee to acknowledge that they understand that there's a GSP and that there's MTs and MOs and other items within pertaining to the GSP. And that permittee would sign that form as part of their permit application with the county. And the board approved the verification letter and what that is, or verification form. And it states that at this current time, that the installation of a well, large diameter well, would not be inconsistent with the GSP, but the board retained the right to rescind that verification during the permit period, meaning that if the well is not installed within the year that that the permit is valid for installation, that the board can come back depending on groundwater conditions, especially a year from now, that they could rescind that and that they wouldn't be able to install that well until there was additional analysis or study, essentially, to see if the installation of those wells would be inconsistent with the GSP. So, and it looks like the other GSAs like the Butte Subbasin, they're looking at a similar acknowledgement form, as well as Wyandotte Creek GSA. And so that's what's moving moving forward with regard to the executive order. And that is being incorporated into the permit process for public health or environmental health. Are there questions on that, thoughts? That was approved by the board last week and has moved on to environmental health.
I was just going to add, Cammie, it might be worth mentioning that FINA GSA's legal counsel
created
and drafted the form. And so, yep.
Yes. So that's all I had to report on that, and I don't see any other hand raised. Thank you, Kelly, for that reminder. And we will adjourn. Our next meeting date is scheduled for May 25th. Did we want to talk about location real quick? I think we have the option of using the city facilities or do Zoom, or we could do a hybrid.
Yeah, we have our conference room too, one that's available if we want to. The only thing that might change is if the state of emergency ceases between now and our next meeting, we may have to meet in person. Right. The COVID state of emergency, sorry.
Yeah, yes. I will say that the Board of Supervisors did end the local state of emergency proclamation of emergency.
And I'll just add
terms. Oh, go ahead, Kelly.
Sorry. I was just going to add as well that there is a part of our charter that addresses this as well, saying that every effort will be made to meet in person when discussing these types of items. So just kind of putting that in perspective, I know that that was some of the wishes of the SHAC prior to this, but of course, it's good for everyone to chime in.
Samantha, I see that your hand's raised.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm happy to hear that you're looking at places in Chico to meet. I know that the GSA is required to meet in the basin, but we didn't specify that in our charter revision. And I do support trying to meet in Chico.
So would we all like to meet in person on the 25th? It would be at the city chamber, but in one of the conference rooms adjacent to the main chambers. We can have a Zoom for the public option as well. We can still do that. So, okay, I see Richard Harriman has a thumbs up. Richard, you have finally learned how to use the reactions. I'm excited about that.
Well, I try not to interrupt you and have to be recognized, but I think it's good to have the option to appear via Zoom as one of your members is now in Kentucky and I'm envious of their location.
Great, thank you. Samantha, is that an old hand or a new hand?
No, I just wanted to second what Richard said, that I think that we should maintain a hybrid option at least for the next month or two while people rearrange their schedules to stay in town.
Okay.
So the calendar, an example being Joanne being in Kentucky.
Great. All right.
Jimmy, may I be recognized on one other point?
Sure. And then I see another yes. And then Deborah, I do see your hands up.
I just wanted to say that first of all, I'd like to encourage staff to capture what I perceive to be some points of agreement from across the board. And I want to emphasize that I think that's a really important way to move. And especially with who's going to be paying for what we need to be doing in the basin to get back to the level that's required as soon as possible. So I think those of you who commented again today that I usually disagree with, thank you. And let's focus on what we agree on. Thank you.
Thank you. Deborah, I see your hands up.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that there are a couple of bills moving through the legislature to make permanent the ability to meet in a hybrid fashion for public agencies. So this is, a possibility ongoing.
Great. Yes, there are. Thank you. There are a couple bills to allow it. So thank you for that. All right. I don't see any other hands up. So we will meet on May 25th at the City of Chico Council Chambers Conference Room number 1 and via Zoom. We'll provide that as well at 9 o'clock. Thank you, everyone, for your participation today.
Thank you.
Thank you.